First, I'd like to begin by saying that I refer to my higher power as God, and I'd like to start us out with a short prayer before I begin sharing. God, I just come to you today, and I thank you for loving us first and always being with us. Thank you that we at no time ever stand alone. I ask that you would please direct my share to here today with the people on the Zoom meeting, and so that it could be helpful to those who are listening. Thy will, not my will, be done. And so, welcome, each one of you. My name is JR, as Cindy said, and I'm from Southern California. And I've been in the OA program for a year and 9 months. I sponsor two ladies, and I'm also involved with service at my home, Scottsdale Big Book Zoom study meeting as well. And what I'd like to do today is really begin sharing a little bit first with about my childhood, just to give you an idea of where I came from. I was, in essence, raised in a very volatile environment as a child. My parents verbally fought many times during the week, and domestic violence occurred once in my childhood. My father was a good person, but was very much of a narcissist and a sporadic heavy drinker and could often be mean-spirited. And my mother never told her side of the fam of her family what was going on in their marriage. And she just wanted a safe face, so to speak. So from the time I was maybe, oh, 5 or 6 years old, I could remember my mom dumping all of her problems on me about my father, their financial mishaps, what have you. And because she didn't really have anybody that she could share with, any friends or her family, I soon became her sounding board. And from early on, I began looking for ways to constantly encourage her because I felt that she was, got the short end of the stick in her relationship with my father. But as a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, I didn't have any idea of how to handle this overwhelming burden of their marriage. And I soon found out that eating and going to food helped me feel a lot better. And I always looked at it as a reward, a comforter. And surprisingly enough, as a child and as a teenager, I wasn't obese, but I definitely used food to cope. And so by the time I reached 19 years old, my weight really started to increase. I started packing on the pounds and I was overeating with each meal. I would eat till I was full and content and then have snacks in between meals. And I was drinking about 4 to 5 20-ounce bottles of Diet Dr. Pepper every day. And I would occasionally meet those people in my circle who would say to me, "Oh, you're okay. You know, we accept you as you are." While I was increasing to 200 pounds. And unfortunately, that was really the last thing I needed to hear because it really kept me complacent in the disease. And at this age of 19, it's important for me to say now that I really did love both of my parents despite the shortcomings. And the one thing that I can think back on that they both would agree is that they loved my brother and I very much. And I realize now that the love my parents gave to me and my brother was really a gift from God, a beautiful gift. And it's to this day, it's still a wonderful memory to me. And so, as I mentioned, my default growing up was always running to the food as a reward and a comforter. All the while, I just kept gaining weight and getting bigger and bigger, and I just would get bigger clothes, you know, bigger pants and blouses. And then I soon became diabetic type 2. And I thought, well, I'll just take the medication, I'll be all right. And I never thought about doing anything in reference to the food, overeating. And so then when I needed to go on insulin, because my meds weren't helping in me anymore, and I was increasing in weight. I thought, oh, well, I'll just go on insulin then. And it's crazy because I was so complacent. I was, in essence, indifferent to what I looked like. I didn't care what the scales or the mirror told me. But there were two instances in my adulthood when I did lose weight. And I was so excited about losing weight. I mean, I wanted to shout it from the rooftops. To me, it was such a great accomplishment after I had been overweight for such a long time. But the people in my circle had a look on their face like, well, yeah, you should be losing weight, or in fact, one person told me, well, I hope you don't gain it all back. And then guess what? I did gain it back. And I did that two times before ever hearing about OA. And I gained the weight back because of emotions. I mean, I wasn't going through any major trauma. I could just simply be tired and exhausted from my job and working all day. And I would use food to comfort me. And to me, the food was like Shangri-La. It was like a seemingly great thing. But unfortunately, I was sinking like quicksand deeper into the disease. And so, about a year and 9 months ago, after reaching a top weight of 327 pounds, I mean, I knew I could probably lose weight, but I also knew I couldn't keep it off. And I certainly didn't want to go through all the trouble of losing the weight only to gain it back again. I mean, it was obvious to me that I was an emotional eater, but I also knew that I was out of control too. I mean, I really was in a bad situation when I would think about it because, in essence, I was my worst enemy. I was actually being cruel to myself, but I just didn't know it at the time. And then one day I saw someone on Instagram talking about their alcoholism and not wanting to take any action. I thought to myself, man, this guy is lying to himself. He's not taking any accountability for his behavior. And then, like a brick hitting me in the forehead, I began to realize that that's me with food. And so, after decades of doing what I wanted with the food, I realized that I've been lying to myself. I thought that this can't be God's will for me in my life. And sometime back, I had read somewhere that the enemy of wisdom isn't stupidity, it's rationalization. And that's what I did for years. I rationalized my overeating and bought into the lies from the compulsion. Because the compulsion, when I would think about it, it's like an adversary on my back every single day trying to persuade me to compulsively overeat in order to gain an ease and comfort. And now that I'm recovered, I now realize that God had actually shown up in my life and was always, talking to me. But in my disease, I couldn't see or hear the obvious because my thinking was faulty in the disease. I was just like the person mowing their front lawn and their house is on fire. I didn't see the obvious because I was, in essence, disease-ridden and had faulty thinking. And I always believed in God and I wanted to be a moral person. In fact, I gave my life and heart to God when I was 19 years old, except I never thought about surrendering over the compulsive overeating. And that was mostly because of ignorance. I mean, I was ignorant about what was really going on. I thought the problem was I was just not disciplined and didn't have self-control. Nevertheless, I was in essence saying, hey, God, I'll do whatever you want, but I'll do 90% of your will. But with the food, I'm in control because it's mine. And here's the exciting reality about all of this: God didn't give up on me, and I can clearly see that He continually showed up in my life. I mean, He was always there, but it was me that threw a wrench into my circumstances because I had a heart of rebellion. I needed heart surgery. I wasn't teachable or open to God's best for me in reference to the food. My way of thinking was mistaken, and I liked being comfortably numb after I ate, and I bought into the lies from the compulsion. So, in essence, I was the one who had actually built a prison for myself, brick by brick, with each wrong step that I made in eating the allergy foods and the volume eating. And I was dying in a disease, but I didn't know it. And so I was actually fighting God to have my way with the food. All the while, I was actually, in essence, forfeiting God's best for me and not and his best for me in being able to have freedom with the food and having clarity of mind or having a life that's thriving, all because I was consulting my feelings and emotions, which were faulty, instead of asking God for his counsel. So today I'm very grateful to be recovered. And I know that it's that God's not just a God of a second chance, but rather God's a God of another chance. And that's comforting for me to know and to hold on to. And me reaching the conclusion that I had been lying to myself and that I was out of control a year and 9 months ago was really God's grace and mercy showing me that because. You know, when I think about it, I'm not that smart to figure that out. I mean, how could I come to that conclusion out of the blue, on my own? So the next thing I did was I went on Amazon and started looking for every book I could find on compulsive overeating or just overeating itself. And I found one that I liked and it suggested OA. And that's how I came into the program. And so, after I had realized that I'd been lying to myself for so many years about the volume eating and having my way with food and eating whatever I wanted, I became convinced that compulsive overeating was not God's will for me. And I had to agree that even a doctor or scientist would say compulsive overeating was not a good thing to do for me. And in the big book, I soon learned about the physical allergy of the body and with certain foods and the twist of the mind, the compulsion for ease and comfort. Now, when I think about it, those two things together is like a recipe for disaster. But the encouraging thing is that the big book does give the details, the roadmap, the GPS, if you will, about how to get recovered. I don't have to guess or speculate or experiment with trial and error to know those things about how to get recovered. And how I got recovered is by surrendering over to God my will to get my way with the food. And then I got a sponsor and a food plan. And I didn't look for loopholes and pick and choose only what I wanted to do. I didn't have cheat days. I took action and I did all the steps as listed in the big book. And when I did that, God stood on the other side of that determination and decision for me and stood there with grace and mercy to empower me with that which I could never do for myself. So in essence, I did my part in surrendering my will or way with the food, and then God provided me an incremental transformation. He provided me with the recovery. And so when I'm at a crossroads and I have an urge to have my own way, my old ways with food, because it doesn't matter if you're 4 days in a program or 4 decades, we are all vulnerable at some point. And so when I reach a crossroads and I have an urge to do something with my old ways with food, I ask myself this, is this thought to want to eat the allergy foods or volume eat something that God would tell me because, or is this thought really the compulsion and the mental twist that's really lying to me? Because in essence, I know that God is not going to intuitively impress upon me as a compulsive overeater that I could eat whatever I want. And what has especially helped me when I get the compulsion to want to pick up allergy foods or to volume me is that I immediately replace the thought to pick up with immediately taking action. And I have a list of actions or strategies that I can do that will actually end up lifting the discomfort for me. And that's what people do when they go for the allergy foods is they don't like the discomfort and they want the comfort. So they go for the food to give them that. But when I take the action items, the action strategies, being engaged in those things actually does lift the discomfort. And I can do one or several of those engaging actions because, you know, everyone is different on what will help them. But I focus on taking action instead of the compulsive thought. And some of those actions are I can call a fellow or I can call my sponsor and say, hey, I'm feeling vulnerable. I can change my environment and get out of it. I can do service and help somebody. Maybe I do service on outreach or I help my neighbor. I can pray and walk. I can even do something that I enjoy, like a hobby or something I love to do. Because the thought to me, the thought to pick up the compulsion thought for me is temporal. It's not going to last. But if I ruminate over it, even for a few short seconds, like a magnet, it's going to pull me in that direction. And so I may never be motivated to take action. I heard many people in the outreach call say, I'm not going to call somebody. But I do the opposite of what I want because my compulsion thoughts are lies. And by redirecting my wrong thoughts and doing the engaging actions, the discomfort for me begins to lift with each action because I can't focus on two different thoughts at the same time. One thought is going to win over, either the thought that's going to be engaged in the activity or the action thought that's going to be promoting the support for myself in the program or the compulsive thought that's going to take me into the disease deeper. And I heard someone say in a meeting once that willingness without action is really a fantasy.
That's your time.
Okay, and so I'm just closing up now. And so I heard, and so what I'd like to say, what really helped me in a nutshell is that God moving in my life and my exposure to OA through the big book, and because of his grace and mercy, I'm 124 pounds less in weight. And I'm continuing to work towards a normal body weight. And God has truly provided me that which I could not do for myself. So instead of going to the food for comfort, I go to God for comfort for everything that I need as a human being to survive. And I'll leave you with this, that the allergy foods and the compulsive behaviors are not my reward. God is. And for those that are struggling with it, still with the disease and the compulsion, I'd like to end with a metaphor that says basically, and that is, and if you can envision it, the door to God and the power that can transform a life has always been open to compulsive overeaters. So no matter what your compulsive eating behavior history is, I encourage you to surrender getting your way with the food, to turn the handle and open the door and reach for God. He's there. Work the steps because there is recovery in OA. And it can exceed your expectation. With God, all things are possible. And thank you.